First, I would like to thank the organizers giving me the opportunity to give a talk here. And so what I can talk about is the measuring barrier curvature by angle resolved photon emissions in spin orbital coupled systems. The title is kind of misleading because I want to put a more sexy to attract more people to listen to me. It's not not exactly, but the physics is reflected in actually is a similar kind of physics, better coverage for the spin Hall effect. So my name is Champion. I'm not a lie. So the paper actually was published. This work was done together with Domlai Form's group at Fudan University. He's an experiment, and he was a former ZX Chen student. 2 years ago, he moved back to China, set up his lab. And now actually, 2 weeks ago, he went to Stanford to do the experiment. So I don't have the data yet. So we hope to locate that after a couple. So the work also with early work with with Andrew Brunovic and Kanjun, who is a postdoc here, RDP. Brunovic is a student. And if I have time, actually, I can also mention some numerical calculations which are done together with my student and a collaborator in the Institute of Physics at China this summer about the spin accumulation induced by the confined potential under the boundaries. Actually, that case also leading to some spin accumulation boundaries like spin Hall effect. So when you measure the spin accumulation and say this is spin Hall effect, you should be more careful to consider this effect. So the outline, I will give a brief motivation, and so far the barrier phase in the momentum space in the spin orbital coupled systems, and I will briefly describe the angle resolved photon emission technique, and the effect I'm looking actually is the dark closing effect due to electric field observed in the angle resolved photon emission. And finally, if I'm trying to talk about spin accumulation by these confinement potentials. So spin orbital coupling is a relativistic effect and has been discussed in this workshop, I think, many times. So the interesting thing is like you consider solid state physics where you have band structure so far. In semiconductor, these three important spin orbital coupling terms. The first one is Rochebe spin orbital coupling, which is due to the asymmetry of the confinement potential in the third direction. And also the Dresselhaus spin orbital coupling, which is due to the breaking the inversion symmetry in the material. And the third one is in the valence band of the semiconductor. So actually, it's a bulk property. So you have a spin 3/2 system. And so these spin orbital coupling systems, when you look, when the spin orbital coupling is very, very strong, actually, we know it leads to band split. So in that case, when you consider the effective Hamiltonian in each band, actually this the nice description is say that each band, inside each band, if this effective potential actually you must have include to some barrier phase term. So that can be described in like in this model. So you have a spin orbital coupling And you want to diagonalize the spin orbital coupling term, go to each band, so plus or minus band. So if you have a potential V, and this x here actually is going to describe by d is a covariant derivative now becomes a momentum space, and you have to induce this very phase, and which is in a non-trivial, and this kind of thing happen when you write down this thing is effective Hamiltonian. And in that case, actually, you can show that it's going to lead to the semi-classical formula, which has to include this Berry curvature term here. And this kind of formula then has been proposed to explain the anomalous Hall effect, which by Alan McDonough here. So this is one of the consequence of this Berry curvature in the due to spin orbital coupling. So another one is also proposed, which by Murakami and Nagosa Shijin, where it is, which are about this intrinsic spin Hall current in the Luttinger model. In that case, you you say that basically you apply electric field in one direction, and the spin current. Last week, Joe Moore, Joe already talked about the spin current, and actually is a tensor, and which is connected by topological. This Berry curvature term. And since this thing does not break a time reversal symmetry, so this current actually is dissipationless. So we, as this has been talking about last few years. So the idea here is actually I'll try to think about it whether we can direct probe is a Berry curvature in this spin orbital coupling system where you actually project each band. So as you as well I described here, actually the Berry curvature is sort of effective and intermediate concept to in describing the physics, because we have to project each band. If you just write down as a matrix model, actually. If you include all the band, this Berry curvature is in that sense is not exist. So in full band, if actually this Berry curvature is reflected to reflect in the band mixing when you apply the electric field, and so in order to detect this kind of Berry curvature effect, since the Berry curvature is a function of momentum. So the anomalous Hall effect actually is you have to take an integral of this Berry curvature. So it's a total topological quantity. But if you want to direct probe of this curvature, you have to, since it's a function in the momentum space, so you have to use some experimental technique to measure in each momentum space. So the angles of photo emission so far, I think, is a unique, not unique, but in the single particle case, I think maybe unique, is probing the signal, which in both has momentum and energy resolution in both. So this is some way consider whether this can be taken into measure this Berry curvature effect. So let's look at the idea whether we can probe this Berry curvature. So the Berry curvature is comes from this actual adiabatic approximation. So basically say when you apply the electric field, splitting gap is bigger than the electric field energy produced by electric energy. So you have a Hamiltonian which has spin orbital coupling, and you have apply electric field. And in here, I just do a kind of different time-dependent gauge, which you put as an electric field inside of momentum. And in that case, if you adiabatic approximation is valid, I'm going to use the instantaneous eigenstate. So to diagonize the Hamiltonian, but the wave function here, shooting a wave function, solution is not an instantaneous eigenstate. So the real solution of the Schrödinger equation actually, due to the electric field, there's a mixing between the these two bands. So if you look at one band here, let's say the first band, in fact there is this turn will come in. So this wave function of this band actually is modified. And which is, if you keep the leading order, is basically a proportional E dot this B vector. And this B vector, in fact, is related to the Berry curvature, which you will show is also a divergence in the band crossing point. So the question is here is whether we can probe this B vector in the angles of photoemission. So the angles of photoemission actually is very simple technique in some sense. It's using very high energy photon, and you came into the material, you immediately knock out the electron. So what do you think about the knock out electron is exactly the in the state which the knockout electron will keep the main information in the when he is inside this material. And so you have two conservation laws. One is energy, so you can measure the energy of the coming out electron. And the second one actually is the momentum in the plane is conserved in that process because it's very fast. You kick it, immediately kick the electron. So that's two things you can measure. So you can measure the angle of the electron from the detector. So now this detector is like circling there, so you can measure all these angles and just by one shot. And you can, it's a very powerful technique now. So the ARPES actually got a lasted like 10 years to get dramatically improved. So this dramatic improve is due to the actually high DC superconductor study. And the energy resolution now, even sometimes they told me it's like even 1 MeV, they almost can resolve. I looked at just like 2 MeV here. So, and they have very high angle resolved. Angle resolution also 0.1 angle degree, so it's very, very good. You can, it's like 10 years ago, 2 MeV or 20 MeV, so it's one magnitude higher. So, and also another thing is I want to mention is that even weak dark horizon effect can be detected. So far in high temperature superconductors, Argan's group claims they actually there's a paper they claim they measure this weak dark horizon effect, but the experiment in Europe I think it does not confirm that. But at least the case is the weak dark horizon effect in our modern ARPES you can measure. So dark horizon effect usually we have this magnetic dark horizon effect people may be familiar with, which is basically probing the time reversal symmetry in the breaking in the material. And for example, in the ferromagnetic materials, you have this dark horizon effect, and also in superconductor, this in high temperature superconductors, actually all these strings, I mean, exotic state. Not, some people think it's not that exotic, like orbital current phase and ion superconductor. If they are existed, they are breaking the time reversal symmetry, so and they should be see some dark closing effect. Nah. So this is due to time of symmetry. But here, to probe that kind of B factor here, actually, if you have electric field and plus spin orbital coupling, and this also can be leading to the dark closing effect in each band. And here we don't have time reversal symmetry breaking, and so I think the physics can be considered as this stems from this pair curvature.
Can you please remind what the dark
closing? Oh, so dark closing means you have left polarized circular light coming and right circular light coming. The difference between them. So you measure two signals, which you have right circularized polarized light. And then you are using left circular polarized light, you measure again the difference between them, called dark closing.
So you have the difference between the electric
yeah.
Susceptibilities for left hand and right hand.
So here we'll be measure the intensity of the coming out of electron. In the angle. So you have left polarized light coming, knocked out the electron, and then you use the left polarized light, knock out the electron, and then you measure the difference. Okay. So this is
the difference in what?
In whatever you detect the electron, you have to detect how much electron coming out. Right,
that's
emission of
the
electron. Yeah, intensity, total count of the electron. Intensity, so.
So you need a Bark quantity or Bark quantity?
What?
Is it a Bark quantity? I mean, it detects whether the system breaks at time reverse symmetry.
Yeah. So see, that's when you have magnetic dark closure. So because magnetic dark closure, all these states here break time reverse symmetry. So that's the way people use it to detect.
Okay, so what is the cancellation rule for the dichroism?
Again?
The cancellation rule for the dichroism.
Oh yeah, I will talk about it. It's actually if you apply in the Miller plane, so you can cancel. Indeed. You mean the cancellation? When the right and the left, right? So the Arpes theory, actually, the angular photoemission theory, is, in some sense, is quite simple. So this is a Fermi-Gödel rule, which you have a dipole interaction between photon and this. Electron, and so this Fermi-Gödel rule, and the nice thing about this Arpes, which has been proved showing that this so-called three-step approximation is kind of quite good. So this three-step approximation means the photon energy is very high, so you just come in, knock it out the electron, so the first step, and then the electron has to travel in the material, the second step. And the electron coming out, which reaches the detector, which you consider the third step. So these three steps sort of completely independent. And so in that kind of approximation, which you can write as the intensity of the electron by this formula. So basically, it's proportional to a matrix element. Okay, here, and times the imaginary part of the Green function in the material. And the edge here, so basically you have many parameters here. The one edge is, means the light coming with is left circularized or right circularized. Okay. So of course you can linear polarize the matter. Also you have a spin. In principle, you can also measure the spin of the electron coming out. So that will be the spin you can measure in which direction. So response to one direction, so you can measure omega and k. And the matrix element now becomes very simple, and it's between the single particle initial state with the final state as this approximation. Okay.
What are the photon energies used for these?
21.6 like a keV.
keV.
Yeah, it's very high. I mean, they're different. The best one is the cyclotron source.
Yeah.
So they if you don't have this kind of equipment, you use a helium like source, and it's like there's one frequency. I remember 21.6 keV. It's very hot, so you knock electron very quick. It's not like infrared, like this kind of thing. So in that case, we already talked about that. So due to the electric field and this spin orbital coupling, it's kind of better curvature. Actually, so you lead to the mixing between two bands. So actually, the initial state here, when you apply electric field, is different from when you don't apply electric field. So here I wrote the matrix element between the difference between the you apply electric field and without applying electric field. So this difference is proportional to electric field and at times is whatever this single particle state in your material. And I just write down a function of the GK. And for different spin orbital coupling, you can calculate. And you can see that so the spin orbital coupling induce additional turn in this RPS matrix element, and it actually is directly proportional to the electric field. And since suppose we know all the spin orbital coupling, and we know the exactly the angle dependent of the B vector. And also, actually, it also can be quite strong near the band crossing point. But the adiabatic approximation, of course, is break it down when you exactly the band crossing point. It requires the electric field to produce energy much less than the band gap. So you need to measure this, say, away from this band crossing point. So this new turn, so basic idea is that you have whatever you intensity you RPS measured, and you have two turns. So AK omega, the omega will determine which band you're going to access. Okay, so each band, which band you're going to access. So the spin orbital, due to the better curvature, is going to reflect in this, your matrix element in here. So this is the essential idea here. And the way it's going to measure it, actually, I'm going to define two quantities. So in general, if you can calculate everything, you can just put in a formula to calculate between the, with when you apply electric field or without applying electric field. But in reality, I think it's best way is to measure this dark Clausen effect. So just your question asked, so basically the D is the dark Clausen, which using a right circular polarized light, and a minus the left circular polarized light. Okay, and you also can measure the, if you can measure spin of the electron coming out, you can also measure the spin polarization. Okay, so basically you measure the spin up minus the spin down. And both these two turns, when you have a Miller plane, so the idea is you have, suppose you have a material, you have a Miller plane in one direction, and your light coming along this Miller plane, so in this Miller plane. And now you reflect, knock the electron out. In that case, since this is a Miller plane, if you do not apply electric field, actually, there's perfect symmetry. So then you using right and left circular polarized light, it should give you exactly the same. So the D and the P will be just equal zero. But now if you apply electric field, which is a perpendicular to the Miller plane, now you break the symmetry. So now this D and P is going to proportional to your electric field. And the formula is given here. So in principle, you can measure these. Okay. So this is basically the turn. So if you have, if you know the band structure, the initial state of these wave functions, you can put a exact number to calculate. So the, how big is this Dirac-Lewis effect? So we estimated for the valence band for different semiconductors here. So the idea is that we want to get like 2% Dirac-Lewis effect, like ITC, which is so far the cleansing measure, able to measure it. And how big electric field you needed in order to do that. So we set as the gap of splitting gap around like 20 MeV. So in that case, presumably the RPS can resolve these two bands easily. And so now in that case, you focus in the one band. Now the electric field, in order to produce this 2% effect, actually is not that small. So for the silicon, is 41 for millimeter. So this is too big actually for this kind of RPS experiment. And for germanium, for the last one, indium and tinumi, this one is reasonable, like 1.2 voltage. So it's reasonable, you can measure it. So now at this moment, I don't have data. So basically, Bumlai is working on this measurement in this Indian antennum. So this data just collected, I think, last week. So I don't know. So next time I will maybe report as a data. So this is the basic idea to measure this better coverage. So this is my first. Yeah, any question? I'll go into a little bit more about this confinement potential, about this part.
Somehow I missed the point about this electric field. What does it do to the band structure, or how should I think about the effect of the electric
field? Usually, as electric field, you tilt in the band, right? Tilt in the band. You tilt in the band.
Within the whole Brillouin zone.
Yeah. But here is because you're spin orbital coupling, so you have a spin orbital split. So you have spin orbital, so electric field, you're going to change your momentum, right? The momentum. So this
some rush splitting or
like. Yeah, you need just some spin orbital coupling. That's
so
the effect.
That still keeps the degeneracy at the Bellman.
Yeah, it still keeps it. So yeah.
Your estimation for the conduction band or
for valence band. The conduction band is I don't know how big it is, like. Yeah, this is for bulk. So it's you need actually, you cannot go too big to. So actually, the experiment is quite hard. I mean, here, if you see that, so epsilon is a gap between two bands, so splitting band. So the electric field actually needs very big if you want, you go too big, leaving from the gamma point, but also you cannot. Very close to the gamma point because it's the adiabatic approximation will not invalid. So this there's only some range of this Fermi brain zone you can near the gamma point that you can access and you can measure.
Which k vectors do you have in mind with this formula? Because it must be at then.
So it's near the gamma point. Near the gamma point is like. You keep the like gap like 20 MeV. So here I use. So you have band splitting, right?
Yeah.
So you have a Fermi. You have some.
You assume some value of Fermi wave factor.
Yeah, so the energy is like 20, the difference between the gap, the spin splitting gap is 20 MeV. So that's what I assumed. So in that case, 20 MeV, you suppose the RPS can resolve the difference between that upper band and the lower band. Yes. That's
in the valence band, 20 MeV is already pretty large.
No, for this one, it's not big. It has a very high gamma 1, gamma 2 is quite.
The curvature is so small in the valence band that in order to get these energies, you need a fairly large. I just wonder if I translate the Fermi wave factor into a density, what this corresponds to.
Fermi vector. Then, not for here is not in the Fermi surface. We are not talking about. So you just need a material, which you have, for example, envelope, which you have electron in the conducting band. But we are accessing the valence band. The RPS, the nice thing of RPS is you can knock out any electron where you want.
You do this with an undoped sample, you mean?
Yeah, you can do it, not a p-doped, not at the Fermi surface.
Okay.
So that will be, actually you can, that will be dangerous, actually, because you have a current effect on the particle of the Fermi surface. That will actually already break the time reverse. That
you
could
you
reach
any
yeah. Yeah. You can access
is
inside the band.
K point instead of its own segment, its radius should be larger.
Yeah, so it's 20 MeV. Yeah. So the RPS, I didn't show the RPS data. RPS data, you can change the omega, right? So omega, you go to, so you can look at the peaks, okay? So you can identify the peak, where it came from, which band you are, okay? So you should see two peaks, which is like 20 MeV different on some moment. That's the way to access. It's not a measuring of the Fermi surface. Measuring Fermi surface is actually makes all these things in the is certainly another work. So here I just want to brief mention some calculation, which is spin accumulation at the edges. So originally this experiment here down at Santa Barbara, which is measures spin accumulation by the Kerr effect at the edges, and which has many contributions, which are possible contributions, like possible candidate, is extrinsic spin Hall effect and intrinsic spin Hall effect, which still kind of debating. But another thing I think also is important, actually, in that case, you need to consider the spin accumulation by just by the confined potential near the boundary. So if you have a material which you have a boundary here, and so you basically keep the electron in the side, so this confinement potential here also going to induce spin orbital coupling near the boundary. Okay? So that you can write down in this simple term. Okay? So in that case, you can think about it. I give the so this direction, let's say the vertical direction is the x direction. So you have px, you fix the momentum of the x. And for the spin down in the z, spin in the z direction, for the spin up or spin down, you have a field of different potentials. So for the spin down, you feel like this. So there's a symmetry between this side, left and the right side. And for the spin up, you feel that way. So if you have a px go to minus px, of course these two reverses. And so if you don't apply electric field, of course there's no difference between the px minus px is symmetric. So there's no difference. So you don't have the spin accumulation. But then if you apply electric field in this x direction, so you break px go to minus px. So in that case, you also lead to some spin polarization and there are two edges. And there's also this is a numerical result. So this oscillation is in the bulk is due to the Fermi finite Fermi vector. So these things actually can be quite a big. We estimate for different like confinement potential. So this one is just for the square confinement potential. And for the like for the more realistic, you put some kind of potential near the boundary, which has a finite size decay. So that case, in fact, I mean, if you increase the spin of this potential big, actually, the total accumulation spin near the two edges almost saturated of the V. Go to 0.0 EV. So this is basically the this is one of the. So one thing we consider is there's another group which also we finished the calculation. And they also tell me this, their calculation. So actually, they also did a different technique. They were basically the same kind of physics. So we have spin opposite spin accumulated near a different edge when you apply electric field or on the one direction. And so the thing here, the difference between the spin accumulation induced by the confinement potential or due to spin Hall effect is that this mechanism here actually is very it's non-sensitive to the impurity in the bulk. So here we put it like this water in the bulk, quite a different disorder in the bulk. And you can see the spin accumulation is almost non-changed in many cases. And similarly, here also, and the calculator here, also the spin accumulation due to this mechanism for the different different impurity stress. And in fact, at the beginning, you can see that there's no change for the spin accumulation near the two edges. But for the like Rochefort spin orbital coupling system, in fact, we know the intrinsic spin Hall effect, or this intrinsic spin Hall effect has a very large dependence on the disorder strength, actually. So this is also a numerical calculation which show if you increase the disorder, it's immediately suppressed of the spin accumulation at the edge. So using this kind of disorder, actually, you can separate whether the spin accumulation at the edge is due to the spin Hall effect or just due to the potential near the boundary. So actually, you can see the magnitude of these two effects is almost equivalent. So that's the story of about this simple calculation. Yeah?
I think, just clarify the question. So the first calculation was that you have accumulation even without spin hole?
No, yeah, it was without spin hole, even you have. Yeah, I just told you. Sure. So you have a boundary, right? So you have a boundary, so you have if you have a boundary potential here, right, the opposite. So you induce a spin orbital coupling near the boundary here, okay?
What kind of spin orientation do you expect?
Yeah, so here, so the spin is, this is z direction. This is your material in y direction, and this is X-direction, which is a is a translation invariant. And so now you have a confined potential like this, right? So you will induce a spin orbital coupling near the two edges, okay? So this is this term. Derivative of the V1.
So
right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Suppose now you also consider the there's a like Lachapelle type interaction in the bulk.
Yeah, in the bulk.
So
yeah.
So then you get two contributions, right?
Yeah,
so
but that will be in the bulk.
The
yeah.
same sign or opposite sign, and does the sign agree with David
Ostrom? Yeah, the sign actually agrees.
David Ostrom.
Yeah, yeah, the sign actually agrees.
So another way to say it is that in the Lachapelle system in the bulk, you
have yeah. Yeah, so when you measure spin accumulation, you need to be careful.
You feel that the boundary rotates, the spin accumulation rotates with it.
Yeah.
And gets a
z component. Yeah. Z component, for the spin hall effect.
Yes.
But here is basically, say, you have this confinement potential. You have, because the confinement potential here is this way, here that way.
You have the same effect for the spin-independent confinement potential as well. Or you're rotating this way, or you're rotating in this way.
For the without spin orbital coupling.
No, with all forms. With all forms.
In the ball. Say, what's the question again? Okay.
Just a spin-independent confinement potential will give you the same effect.
Spin-independent confinement potential. So just have a Vy?
Isn't
that
yeah.
No, that will not.
I don't understand the question. So, I mean, he didn't have a very simple confinement potential.
Yeah.
He's only adding in that because there's a, in addition to the intrinsic effective field, now we have a boundary
electric yeah. field. And then, well, this is yeah, so this is a mechanism. Of course, you require, like what I said, if you have eight NeV boundaries, okay? It's produced reasonable large. If you have eight EV boundary, let's say the potential.
I would expect that the mechanism that produces this field is similar to the field that you get, say, in any type of inversion layer, which is essentially also the field produced at the boundary of the material. So in that sense, I would expect that the magnitude of the field is the same.
Magnetic field, yeah, maybe.
Any other inversion layer at the surface. The order of magnitude, I would expect.
Not really, it really depends on how you do this. For instance, yeah. You have a create wire or you have the gain control wire, I think the magnitude could be way off.
In fact, the
inversion layer, you do not need the gain to get the effect.
Because that really depends, I mean, this is an effective model, but that really depends on how you come.
Yeah, depends on your confinement.
You can really yeah. have this Gamma-Osmo background with this intrinsic internal electric field, but then gate it with a very smooth profile. So this effect would be negligibly small.
Yeah.
Or you can really have a hot boundary
yeah.
in absence to back.
Here, I need an 8 MeV boundary. So what I said. This yeah. is what I said.
The order of magnitude, I expect.
Cannot be bigger, but yeah.
Yeah.
Should be.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, it's similar. So this is exactly.
Okay, yeah. But you also have inversion layers that don't give you anything, or yeah, I just.
I realize that. I didn't say this is the mechanism to explain the experiment. I just say when you say you measure using spin accumulation at a boundary to measure spin Hall effect, you have to be careful. To consider this effect. That's all what I said. I don't say this is a mechanism to explain the phenomenology. That's kind of dangerous. People will jump.
Excuse me, when you're calculating, do you add some spin relaxation term on the boundary?
No, actually, we didn't put too much spin relaxation. No, so the Px, so where you apply electric field, right? So Px minus Px, the Fermi surface gets different. Px minus Px is different.
Go back to the
Yeah. So if you have Px, right, fix it, let's say. Yeah, eventually, of course, you'll put it away. But the thing is, like, let's say I look Px minus Px. Okay, first I put it Px, positive. Okay? So for the spin up, I feel this way. For spin down, I feel the other way. So if I put it minus Px, okay, then, of course, these two reverse. So if you have symmetry between Px and minus Px, there's no spin accumulation. But now you break Px, yeah. Explicitly, yeah. So in some sense, it breaks part of it. It's by the current, yes.
In your calculation of the disorder effect, so what kind of quantity is take the average of the disorder with respect to average?
So you just put, you just average the disorder potential.
Yeah, and the quantity.
You put more disorder.
So, for example, you can also take the disorder average for the spin hole conductivity or polarization itself.
Polarization. Yeah. So here is actually you just
physically sound way to take the average of the disorder.
Yeah. Thank you. It's basically it's a numerical calculation. So you just simulate, put a more impurity in the material. And it's it's basically no difference between the early days to the calculated heat by some they also use secant. Okay.
When you accumulate a certain amount of spin, if your gradient is sharp, then it's accumulated everywhere. So it's always accumulated
wherever. Yes, but you have a relaxation mechanism, of course. You will go to the bulk a little bit. That will depend on the diffusion length. So what do you think?
I just thought that maybe there is some statement that the number of spins which are polarized is somehow independent of the gradient. If you have a small gradient, where you have a very small density,
So here actually is quite localized on the near the boundary. In fact, in the Santa Barbara experiment, you see some oscillation, like this thing.
Because you can always have fun. I mean, basically, if you're really thinking about in terms of thought, it's much easier. You basically have delta function like a B field.
Yeah.
And so, if the boundary is sharp enough, then probably only the strength of the delta function would be important.
Yeah.
Instead of the shape of the delta function. So that would be your guess.
So we estimate two different, just square. We want it like more smooth. So the smooth potential actually we see the saturation. You have put it like 8 EV, then you increase the boundary, then you see an increase of spin accumulation. We need a boundary around like 8 in the confined potential.
Yeah. Nothing is here.
Yeah. So actually, if you have 2 EV, like something like that, So there's two different experiments.
It's a real simple question because it also depends on the range over which the change takes place.
So the thing actually, the
alkaline,
So alkaline is that actually a little less than the experimental we're seeing. So we use like this kind of effect. So V, okay, V is whatever you have. Okay. The difference of the V is 2EV, 8EV. No, it's 2EV, 8EV.
No, I want a number in any V for the effective spin orbit.
Spin orbit interaction.
This is basically the spin orbit interaction with the envelope, which is usually orders of magnitude smaller than the spin interaction with the block function, because the distance scales are so much larger, and so the gradients are so much smaller.
What's
the order of magnitude of that term in the Hamiltonian in NEV?
Let me see how big it is. Here, we're actually quite short. We not go too
realistic,
much.
What is NEV?
I forgot. It's possible, it's possible.
It's not clear that it should, because this involves only spin orbit coupling to the envelope.
Well, the realistic,
there's a feedback, but it ultimately comes from the microscopic spin orbit.
There's
no microscopic spin orbit coupling
here.
That's right. So my question is, what is that term?
How big is it? I get a number.
Well, then how can you calculate anything?
No, you calculate it. I mean, from here you can calculate it, right? If we assume
that's absorbing the strength of the engine.
You're not calculating the V.
It's hard to.
It's a rather fundamental thing, though. I mean, you know what the spin orbit coupling is in bulk materials.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the order of minimum of tens of MeV up to hundreds of MeV. This is going to be orders of magnitude.
100 to MeV. Another difference is here, you know. So you can have a very very big spin orbit coming in the bulk, right? So the spin hole effect actually, in some sense, does not proportional to your spin, how big your spin orbital coupling is. It's actually independent on your spin orbital coupling parameter for the intrinsic part.
Ultimately, it really comes from that. If you had zero, if you had an ideal material, some fictional material with zero spin orbit coupling, you get no spin hole effect.
Yeah, there's no spin hole effect, of course.
Okay.
But if we very big, actually, you know, the result is just like constant. You never, you know, as soon as you think the electric field is much smaller than the spin orbital coupling strength, okay, then actually you got a kind of universal, basically universal constant for the spin conductance.
Well, there's a competition of energy scales, and the energy scales seem vastly different. So it doesn't.
What's the microscopic picture? That example is coming from the spin.
So this is just confined. You confine the electron, right? You have a boundary.
So this is the spin orbit coupling to the envelope part of the wave function.
Envelope part of the wave function, yeah.
Yes.
You say quite small.
The gradients of the envelope part of the wave function are orders of magnitude smaller than the gradients of the block functions.
But the thing here, one thing I think here is, because this is directly coupled to sigma z. You know, So the spin polarization actually is a direct effect on the c direction. Mm-hmm. So the loss of a
I've got an electron, and it's coupled to this relativistic effect, a magnetic field that's produced by relativistic effects. And there are two of them. There's one from the wave function. There's a block function.
Exactly, the coupling goes to the wave and back to the, even though we're just talking about conduction.
Right.
It's related to what happened in the waves. But here you're really talking, this thing, polarization is only happening in the wave and conduction.
Yeah, so it's because of this
doesn't
small.
Get suppressed by the energy denominator, but energy
is also not enhanced.
Yeah, but it's also down by orders of magnitude. So that's, you know, that's a huge effect. There's a huge disparity in the energy scales.
Yeah, but the spin accumulation does not exactly depend on your energy scale. That's the thing. How
sure,
understand?
Everything depends on energy scale.
Yeah, but if you Lochaber, it's a coupled to the plane, right? It's spin coupled to the plane.
That's because the conduction has coupled to the PI state in the brain scan. The atomic part, it's only the PI.
Yeah, I'd not to say.
The atomic part.
Yeah, the origin is very different.
Yes, the origin is very
different. But I'm confused about why this is even comparable in size.
But
most people completely ignore this.
Yeah, most people completely ignore
this. Small. So that's why I asked, what's the energy scale? Because want to do is convince people that actually this isn't virtual black holes affecting the spin or something that's kind of, it's completely off the scale.
Yeah, but the thing what I consider here is because this thing actually directly affects your sigma z. So
the atomic part, they all affect sigma z.
No, in the Lochaber case, spin hole effect is kind of what you actually.
Mixing with the Veil effect, because the conduction band states are not true eigenstates. I mean, it's just a fiction that you think about a spin and that's like. Conduction band state.
Yeah, but
poor choice of basis. But in fact, it really has valence band character mixed in, and that's where Lochaber effect comes from.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Lochaber effect that comes from. I'm talking about how the spin hole effect is induced by the Lochaber term. The Lochaber actually couples the spin in the plane. It's not a directly coupled spin in the z direction.
Yeah, but that's.
So you have need another mechanism.
I'm not talking about the direction. I'm talking about the magnitude.
So we are talking about a spin accumulation induced which mechanism.
Magnitude of this.
Yeah, so you are talking about energy. I say the energy may be not direct related to spin accumulation in z direction. There's two separate mechanisms you have to consider that.
In the limit, the dv dy goes to zero. This goes away, right?
Yeah, for this one goes
so
away.
The
for this one is perfectly, say you are right, it depends on the strip. But for the Lochaber case, which say, so the, my point is, you compare the strength of spin orbital coupling for this compared to Lochaber turn is not fair competition. We are competing the spin accumulation. Okay, so that's a fair competition. But of course, it's a concern about how big this can. But this thing is actually what I think is directly effect on sigma z. So that's what. It's a good question.
What question?
what's for a million seconds? So you apply an electric field.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Then you apply an electric field, but you need a, so you have a milliplane here.
Yeah, I mean, what are we set up? You just a bulk apply an electric field and then you just back resistance. That's it.
Yeah. No time to rest in me. So you, it's actually a break is a refraction image. Right, the electric field you apply to break is a refraction image, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that also true?
Yeah, if you have a milliplane, then it's 7 inches.